Translation. The great transcendent... Oh no, that's the... from tomorrow. Yeah. Thereafter, at the end of the millennium, the Lord Himself, in the form of Rudra, the destroyer, will annihilate the complete creation as the wind displays the clouds. Actually, it was verse 43, not 44. Purpose. This creation is very appropriately compared to clouds. Clouds are created or situated in the sky, and when they are displaced, they remain in the same sky without manifestation. Similarly, the whole creation is made by the Supreme Personality of God in His form of Brahma. It is maintained by Him in the form of Vishnu, and it is destroyed by Him in the form of Rudra or Shiva, all in due course. This creation, maintenance and destruction are nicely explained in Bhagavad Gita 9:19 and 20 as follow. Bhutagramasa evayam bhutva bhutva pralilyate ratri agame vasham prapta prabhavatyahar agame parastasmatu bhavanyo vyakto vyaktat sanatanaha yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nasyastu na vinasyati. The nature of the material world is that it is first created very nicely. Then it develops very nicely and stays for a great number of years, even beyond the calculation of the great mathematician. But after that, it is again destroyed during the night of Brahma, without any resistance, and at the end of the night of Brahma, it is again manifested as a creation to follow the same principle of maintenance and destruction. The foolish conditioned soul who has taken this temporary world as a permanent settlement has to learn intelligently why such creation and destruction take place. The fruitive actors in the material world are very enthusiastic in the creation of big enterprises, big houses, big empires, big industries, and so many big, big things out of the energy and ingredients supplied by the material agent of the Supreme Lord. With such resources, at the cost of valuable energy, the conditioned soul creates, satisfies his whims, but unwillingly has to depart from all his creation and enter into another phase of life to create again and again. To give hope to such foolish conditioned souls who waste their energy in their temporary material world, the Lord gives information that there is another nature, which is eternally existing without being occasionally created or destroyed, and that the conditioned souls can understand what he should do and how his valuable energy may be utilized. Instead of wasting his energy in matter, which is sure to be destroyed in due course by the Supreme Will, the conditioned souls should utilize his energy in the devotional service of the Lord, so that he can be transferred to the other eternal nature, where there is no birth, no death, no creation and no destruction, but permanent life instead, full of knowledge and unlimited bliss. The temporary creation is thus exhibited and destroyed just to give information to the conditioned souls who is attached to temporary things. It is also meant to give him the chance for self-realization and not for sense gratification, which is the prime aim of all fruitive actors. The verse again. Thereafter, at the end of the millennium, The Lord himself, in the form of Rudra, the destroyer, will annihilate the complete creation as the wind displays the clouds. So here in this verse we hear about how in the form of Rudra, Lord Krishna is actually destroying the entire universes. And the analogy that is given is like the clouds. The clouds in the sky that are blown by the wind and that actually go through transformation and eventually also disappear from our vision, although they are still in the sky. So this is Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport about this creation, maintenance and destruction all the time. Everything is created, everything is maintained for many, many years, and then everything is again destroyed, and then again it starts. And like in the eternity of time, it's going on. Creation, maintain, destruction. Creation, maintain, destruction. Srila Prabhupada mentioned that people in this world want to do a lot of big things. Big this and big that. Build buildings, big business, big plans, big projects. But actually everything is going to be destroyed after some time. And then Prabhupada come to this point of not wasting our energy and not using our energy, not losing our self in this material world with all our plans and wasting our precious energy into maintaining and creating and doing all those stuff in this material world, but rather to use one's time for devotional service and for coming to the eternal platform of spiritual life. Prabhupada writes very interestingly at the end, the two last sentence of the purport, is saying that the temporary creation is thus exhibited and destroyed just to give information to the conditioned souls who are attached in this material world. So it's just for us to become aware that actually everything will be destroyed and that there is actually not much necessity to take so much care of so many things in this material world. Because this material nature has the tendency to swallow us. We are doing, definitely we need to do our activities in this material world, but the whale of illusion is so strong that very often we become swallowed by material illusion, and we are actually losing ourselves in the million things of life, and we lose actually the essence, we lose actually the connection with Krishna. I was looking these two verses that Prabhupada mentioned in the purport from the Bhagavad Gita, and in one of the verse there is slightly the same point that Prabhupada mentioned at the end of the purport. He said that Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita is kindly describing how everything is destroyed again and again so many times. Why? To awake our detachment and renunciation from this world. So that actually we come to this point of understanding it doesn't make so much sense to invest too much energy into this material world. And one actually can detach and renounce about this material world. As long as we are under this illusion of trying to get happiness from this world, we are just not able to place it, the hope in Krishna's hand to become happy. It's like you cannot go to the west if you are walking toward east. It's just not possible. When we are trying to get enjoyment from material energy, we are definitely unavoidably walking away from Krishna. So therefore, this destruction and this cycle is there to make us understand, actually, that's not the real stuff. I need to really renounce that and understand everything is temporary. Let me now walk in the direction of Krishna. We are making so many arrangements in our life for definitely we need a minimum of comfort and a minimum of establishing ourselves, but very often we lose ourselves and the balance becomes disproportionate. We are taking so much care about ourselves and about others who are surrounding us, and we actually lose the connection with Krishna. One analogy that is given is if you go to a motel for one night. You just sleep one night in a motel, and the motel is maybe not the clean as you are used to. You will not spend the whole night cleaning the room, because you know next day I'm anyway leaving. So you just leave the things how they are. Maybe you just take away the mirror or the TV and put under the bed, or just small things, but you will not make the maha cleaning of the room. So in the same way, in this material world, we should understand that actually we are just here for a little while. So there is no need actually to make such a big troubles of arranging everything so nicely in our material perspective. So because everything will anyway be destroyed, and we don't know when. Obviously we know that we have few millions, thousand millions of years before Brahmas go to sleep again. So we could think that's enough time so that I put everything in order in this world. But actually we don't know at which time our body will be destroyed, at which time we will have to leave that body. That's a very... I will come a little later in this point of coming closer to our death and preparing ourselves for dying. So Prabhupada writes, we are doing so many big things in this world, but the day we leave our body, we don't take anything with us. Everything remains here. Even our name, that is actually so dear to us. We are so much taking care of our image, of our name. Even that, after one or two generations, nobody will ever remember who we were and what we did. Everything just is destroyed. The only things that remain is our devotion to Krishna. That's the only substantial activities that we are doing. In the eyes of Brahma, because Brahma has such a different notion of time. For Brahma, 1 minute is maybe, I don't know exactly the ratio, but it's maybe 10 years in our world. So from the perspective of Brahma, imagine you are one Brahma. You are in the post of Brahma, and you are looking at Mother Earth, and you just see people taking birth, growing, dying, taking a birth, growing, dying. You will see how things are just going so fast, almost like we see the fly for us. They live one day or something like this, and then they have to die. Then it helps us to actually step back and go a little more in this mood of renunciation, this mood of not investing ourselves too much in the world. There was a movie that my Guru Maharaj will show sometimes, and you see that's like an advertisement movie that will last 1 minute or 50 seconds or something like this, very short. And you see one lady in the hospital giving birth to a child. And she pushed so much that the child just jumps through the window and starts to fly.
And the child is flying, flying in the air. And as the child is flying in the air, it's growing, 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 becoming older, older, older. And then you see him and falling in the graveyard. And that's actually our life in the eyes of Brahma. From the perspective of Brahma, our life is very short. And we have this tendency of become absorbed totally into our life and think and become lost in the 10,000 things we have to do. It's like a child. When a child is playing, he's just so totally absorbed in his play that if you go and take him the toy and say, you have to do something else, immediately he starts to scream, he wants to continue playing. So in the same way, we are so much lost in our own arrangement in this world that when Krishna wants to take us closer or take away some of our toys that keeps us entangled in this material world, often we have this childish reaction of revolting against the plans of the Lord. Once Prabhupada was speaking with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj was in that situation of being totally lost into what he had to manage for Krishna. And Prabhupada told him, the material realm is a fourth of the spiritual dimension, just one quarter of the spiritual dimension. And then in this material dimension, there are thousands of universes. And in those thousands of universes, there is one solar system, which is ours. And in the vast space of this solar system, there is planet Earth. And there, if you go closer, there is the United State of America. And then there is Washington. And then there is the Hare Krishna temple. And there is Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who thinks that what he is doing is so important and so big. So Prabhupada was bringing from the perspective of universe, so the whole perspective, to our own small perspective. And I think it's very important in our daily life that we learn to step a little bit back from our busy activities, and that we get actually the full picture. That means we are able to keep connection with Krishna, that we don't lose ourselves in those thousand things we have to do. Once I was in Berlin, I was staying in Galadhar and Kalakanta's apartment, and I was going out for a walk, and Kalakanta was going out at the same time to bring out the garbage to the containers. And it was winter, it was already dark, and we could see there were a lot of buildings and a lot of lights in all those apartments. And Kalakanta told me, look, wherever there is light, there are people living. And all those people living in those small apartments, they think that their life is the most important things. They are reduced to their own small world. And I found, wow, what a perspective in life, and how much I am also like those people in their houses, lost in my own world, lost in that all what I'm doing is just the most important, and whatever is happening around do not have importance. And Krishna, who is all the time there, all the time next to me, I'm forgetting him. I'm not giving him attention. Like I was reading this morning before coming to the temple room, translation, one line of Guru Puja song. Bando moi savadana mate. And anyone knows what it means?
With great care and respect of my obeisance,
Yeah, with great care and attention, I'm offering my respect to Srila Prabhupada, and that's where we want to come with this beautiful attitude, with beautiful attitude of care and devotion in our services, and that is not possible when we are lost into our small picture, our small world. When we are actually coming in contact with death, then very easily this illusion is gone. When we have friends who leave their body, or family members, we see people dying, we immediately understand what's the use of all I'm doing. We are immediately, everything superficial is actually destroyed when we are in contact with this destruction. When there are earthquakes or tsunamis or things like this, and you see just people dying all around, you just feel, okay, I need to grasp what is left is Krishna. There is nothing else there. I need to invest my full energy. The whole world is dying at every moment. So the real need is Krishna consciousness. This is our real priority in life. Some philosophers, they will keep skeletons in their rooms so that they will always remember death. They will always be in touch with death so that they will actually use their time properly. Yesterday I was chanting japa and I was so dull and I was so uninspired and I was just doing that as a duty. And then I thought, okay, let me prepare my lecture for tomorrow. Let me make a break. By the way, when we see that our japa is very bad quality, it's good to do something else for a little while and come back later in the chanting. So I prepared this lecture and then I went back to chant and it had such a big impact. I was thinking, yeah, I don't know when I will leave my body. I don't know. I should actually use all the time that is available with great urgency to do my devotional service with care and attention. And this is what Yudhishthira Maharaj answered to Yamaraj. When Yamaraj asked what is the greatest illusion in this world, Yudhishthira Maharaj said the greatest illusion is that although everyone has to die, we are acting as if we are eternal. And yeah, it's very good when the Shastras very, very often they bring us back to this point of death, of annihilation of this material world, for just us to understand everything is just bound to be destroyed. Let's not make much priorities in this world, but let's prioritize our spiritual activities. I was speaking yesterday with Murali about simple living and high thinking. And she was saying, simple living means that you are able to not do so much. You don't lose yourself into the thousands of things to do. You do minimum. I mean, you do what needs to be done, but you don't do so many extra things so that you get times to focus in your sadhana, in your spiritual practices. I remember there was a temple where I would visit sometimes. Whenever I would be there, they would just repaint and move everything all the time. One day the office was there, then 1 month later the office was in another room, and they would just constantly change everything in the ashram. And I was thinking, what a waste of energy, just because there is the pressure of the mind that wants to make us act and do things in this world, which is actually okay, and we try to connect it to Krishna consciousness, it's okay also. But it's an example of how one can lose oneself in external things and not be able to prioritize the spiritual our spiritual needs, our spiritual necessity of practicing Krishna consciousness. So Murali was saying it's not easy in this material society in the West to have a simple living and high thinking. But this is how we should, what we should try to come to simplify our life, to free ourselves from so many things that are maybe not so necessary around, so that we actually get more time for absorption in Krishna consciousness. Now, when we see for ourselves, I mean, most of us are temple devotees here, how great it is that we have such opportunity to be full time engaged in Krishna service. What amazing chance we have, and how much do we take this chance? How much are we using this chance really to detach ourselves from this body and from the destruction that is going to come? I was speaking with one Mataji some months ago, and she was helping devotees leave their bodies, and she told me devotees that were 20 years, 30 years in the movement, they were still so attached to their bodies. There were just so many hopes that they would just be cured, that although they had terminal disease and it was the end, it was visible, they just had so much hopes they would still survive, and they would just hang up so much to this material body. And this devotee was telling me how shocked she was to see that after so many years in the movement, devotees were still so much attached to their bodies. And that means that it was just theoretical concept. It could not go into a deep place in their heart where they could actually feel this eternity of the soul. But I remember when Sadanandi was in her last moments, I went once to visit her in the hospital, and it was 1 week before she left her body, and she was reading a book about Reiki, how to cure oneself with Reiki, and I felt, Sadanandi, read Bhagavatam, forget, it's not Reiki that can cure what you have, just read Bhagavatam now. And I could see she was a little bit disturbed. It was like I was not supporting her in the attempt of becoming cured. In her eyes, she just wanted to try the best to become cured. And I was like telling her, there is no chance to become cured anymore. Now focus on Krishna. And I could feel she did not like so much my comment. And later I spoke with Sachinandana Swami about that, and he said, see, it's really not easy to die, even for a devotee who gave his life to Krishna, it's really not an easy thing. So how much do actually we need to take our life serious? How much do we need to prepare ourselves for this inevitable moment of death that will come, that we never know? It can sometimes come very, very fast. When we see disease can be given to us, and we don't know how long we are still in this material body. That should be impetuses for us to take our spiritual practice so extremely seriously, to prepare ourselves, to allow ourselves to be truly connected with our eternal nature, so that we can detach from this body, and when time comes that we have to leave it, we can do it with a smile in our ears and chanting Hare Krishna, and no problem. Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai. Some maybe 5 years ago or 6 years ago, my Guru Maharaj had a big health issue after operation for the varicose veins, and we went to Sholta island in close to Split in Croatia, and Maharaj was there to somehow recover. He would every day go for long walks, And he would all the time hear Prabhupada's lecture as he was walking. And one day he was struck by one sentence of Prabhupada. And the sentence of Prabhupada was asking a question. Prabhupada was saying, "What are you doing for eternity?" And very, very often he repeated that in lecture. What are we doing for eternity? How much are we preparing ourselves for eternity? Sometimes he would even speak about this story of a man who was visiting a village, and one day there was a big festival. The man did not know what this festival was about, but he was there and looking and asking, and suddenly one eagle came down and sat on his shoulder. And everyone looked at him and said, "He is the new king, he is the new king." And the man, "I'm just here to travel." And they say, "No, no, every year we change our king. And every year at this date, the eagle come down and sit on the shoulder of someone, and whoever the eagle sit on must be the king." So the man said, "Okay, why not? This may be a good place to be a king." So he was ruling for 10 months, and then he realized, actually in 2 months I will not be the king anymore. So he asked the gardener, to whom he had become friend, what is happening to the king after 1 year? And the gardener said, "Oh, this I'm not allowed to tell you. Nobody can tell you that." And the king said, come on, you should tell me." And because they were good friends, the gardener said, "I cannot tell you, but come with me one day. And we will go to the other side of the river." After 1 year, the king is brought into the other side of the river, and then nobody hears about him anymore. So they went to the other side of the river, and they saw all the skeletons of the kings. They had died out of hunger there. They did not have anything to sustain their body, and it was very difficult place, very heavy nature, very difficult to go, like a jungle or something like this. So they went back, and then the gardener disappeared. Nobody could see the gardener anymore. And 2 months later, they brought the king into the other side of the river. They said, "My dear king, now you have done very nice, but now it's not your time to rule." They brought him in the other side of the river, and then the king happily bade farewell to the guards and ministers, and then when the boat was gone, he just walked into a certain distance, and there he saw the gardener, who had prepared a big field to grow vegetables, who had prepared a house for him to stay. And the point of the story is that he had prepared himself for dying. He knew that he would have to go into another life, and therefore he had prepared himself for that. And for us also, we know that we will have to leave this body, although this illusion is so strong, this will not happen to us. We know that it's inevitable, and therefore we should really think of those things. We should really prepare ourselves for that by going with deep care and attention in whatever service we are doing. We cannot repay even 1 minute of the time that is gone. Even with the biggest fortune, you cannot repay the time. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur cries. In one song he's crying. He's saying, "I have wasted all my life. Now I'm old. Now my mind cannot function anymore. What can I do, my Lord? What can I do?" And more we become old, more our body will create troubles, more our mind will become weak, and it will be difficult. So really the point is to not lose time, and to really look how we are investing our energies, so that we can really not miss to invest them nicely in Krishna consciousness, and not be lost
in those thousands of things that we are doing in life. So I would like to end the lecture by giving us a hints of where we want to go. This eternal dimension. We need also to hear about that so that we get impetus to go there. Isn't it? I would like to speak a little bit about Vrindavan life. In the morning, the mothers are decorating the boys before they go to the pasturing ground. And the boys are so restless. They don't want to be decorated. They say, Mama, let me go, let me go. Krishna, who is an ocean of love, he's waiting for me outside. Let me go, let me go. And the mother says, come on, Vatsa, Vatsa. Wait a minute, I have just few more jewels to decorate with you. And it's not yet forenoon. And I don't hear the cows also. Don't worry, you have time. But the boys are so restless. Let me go, let me go. Whenever they hear the small noise outside of the house, they're just looking and looking. Is it Krishna? Is it Krishna? And then the mother said, if I cannot decorate, you will look like a beggar. It's not nice. Everyone will laugh at you. Let me finish. And when they are finally finished, the boys want to run out of the house. And the mother want to caress their face before they leave. But for the boys, those loving exchange are just like entanglement. They just want to go out. And then they run out of their houses and they go toward Nanda Bhavan, the house of Nanda Maharaj. And like millions of waves are coming to the shore of the ocean, millions of gopas are now running toward Nanda Bhavan. And one gopa said, I have heard from Nanda Maharaj that we should allow Krishna to rest a little longer. He's suffering from not having enough sleep somehow. He needs to rest a little longer. So then most of the boys, they go to help Nanda Maharaj in the Goshala. And some very close friends, they go inside the house to slowly wake up Krishna. And Mother Yasoda give to Ratnaka and Patraka, some good servants of Krishna, they give them a basket full of sweets to take in the pasturing ground. And Ratnak and Patrak, they see these sweets like having the value of millions of hearts. They see that so, so valuable, that will be to please Krishna later. And then when Krishna is awake, one is placing the Kostubha jewel on the chest of Krishna, and this Kostubha jewel is shining even more beautiful than the sun. Another boy is placing the turban on Krishna's head and stuck the peacock feather on it. And the peacock feather is as brilliant as a beautiful rainbow. Who is hiding behind the door? Hare Krishna! Then the boys, they all go out to the forest to tend the cows. We have just a few more minutes of nectar. When the bridge buses hear Krishna and Balaram, the boys are leaving for the forest. When they hear that, they hear something else in their mind. They hear the sun is setting. The sun of Krishna is now setting. The Brahmanas give blessings to Krishna when he's going to the forest. They throw some dova grass, auspicious, they say mantras, and they sprinkle some holy water very gracefully on the heads of the boys. Pranjanya Maharaj, the grandfather of Krishna, he's saying, let me go with you. I want to go with you in the forest. I cannot live without soothing the eyes, my eyes, with the beauty of Krishna. One gopi said to another, find some tricks to deceive our mothers. I am so eager to see Krishna that my body is stunned. I cannot even climb up the watchtower. I'm stunned due to this eagerness. Another said, let my husband give me intolerable punishment. Let my superior see me. I don't care. I am going to the forest with Krishna. Another gopi said to her stepmother, oh, ugly-faced one, why are you screaming at me? Every one of my friends are running to see Krishna. Why are you trying to stop me? When Krishna entered the forest, he has a beautiful sapphire effulgence that is all around me and that is light, giving a nice color to the forest. All were overwhelmed with separation. Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda follow Krishna for some distance with tears in their eyes. So that was a little window into the spiritual world to give us encouragement. It's not all this destruction of our body, destruction of all we are doing that will be destroyed at some times. It's not a big problem. It's not a big deal. Because we have much more nice to get. We have much more nice to experience. Therefore, we should focus on that. We should not allow ourselves to be lost, to be swallowed by material energy in the thousand small things we have to do in the world. But never forget this essence. And especially when we are living in temple, all our efforts should be to bring quality in our service, to be able to remember Krishna in whatever we are doing. We are engaged 24 hours, or maybe time we sleep, at least I'm not so much engaged when I sleep, but a lot of hours we are engaged in service for Krishna. So what a pity if we are so much engaged, but our heart is dull, and we are just doing things as a matter of duty, that we are not using this amazing opportunity to really bring our attention, our care, our devotion into what we are doing. Hare Krishna. So that was for this morning verse. I don't know if you have questions or comments. Yeah?
My thoughts are so important, what I do is so important, you know, what I experience with my material senses is so important. You get lost in your own world, you know, as you mentioned, in the world of your own ego. But how to leave this world of suffering? It's like the opposite life of devotion and service. It's how I feel. This is the opposite of loving devotion.
you need to make a good balance. It's very good and important to be introspective and to observe ourselves and see what we need to change and what not. But we should not lose ourselves in observing ourselves all the time, and all the time see how to try to get fake happiness. And I think this introspection or this observing oneself should be like an impetus for us to turn toward Krishna. So it should not be just for me to be happy, but to give pleasure to Krishna. But it's not an easy thing. I'm speaking about that, but I speak for me too. It's very often lose myself and lose the connection. It's not an easy thing. Another thing, it's also connected with the modes of material nature. When you are under passion and ignorance, this has the tendency to shrink the consciousness, and then you see just your own little world. But when you get more goodness into your life, then this helps the consciousness to expand toward Krishna, toward Vaishnava Seva, and like this. So this is something we can work on it. And yeah, I know it's not an easy.
I was just now thinking of this expression and saying that, oh my God, I'm so happy that I have a few minutes to think of.
Oh yeah.
With children and everything, but on the other side, like you said, it's a payment. So many things to arrange in life. Those who are parents also, they I think have even much more experience how is this headache and how many times going for such a thing. Now in India we have experience what it means to have time for yourself and just going into it of chanting and reading the whole day long. And it was one wonderful experience. But on the other side, I also have to say that I have also experienced that it's the matter of with which motivation one is doing some things. Sometimes some very spiritual activity is looking from outside, but maybe it is something else. But other times, some material activity, but maybe it's also something else. So I thought it's how one is, which motive one is doing things, which consciousness. Like one can also educate children, and someone who is a monk will think, oh, so much lost time. But if it is done in the Krishna conscious way, then this is as a service.
Thank you for mentioning. I was actually thinking when I was preparing the lecture, I should address also that, because definitely when you are in Grihastha life, you have really a lot of things you need to take care, because also especially when you have children, they have a lot of needs, and a lot you cannot just make them as ascetics and say everything will be destroyed, don't worry, no toys. you have to somehow be entangled, like you say, it's a type of entanglement. But then obviously when you keep connection, when you keep the understanding that's a seva that you are doing, because you want to raise them in Krishna consciousness, you want to give to those souls the gift of Krishna consciousness. So then it changes, and then it's not, then it has nothing to do anymore with temporary things, because your endeavor is to bring them to eternal life. So it's then you get a proper connection again, even in the middle of a lot of things to do. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings in a song, if I take care so nicely of my family members, it's because I understand they belong to you. Because I see they belong to you, therefore I can take so nicely care. So it's It's nice that you bring the point, and it's not that Grihasthas need to throw away their beds and their towels and their kitchen equipment. Definitely all that has to be done. But it's interesting sometimes to see, I think everyone has some room for improvement, and I think everyone might be doing activities that are maybe not so helpful, or that many might lose themselves in doing things that could be used in a better way. Like sometimes I found myself taking my emails 10 times a day. I mean, I'm on the computer, so okay, let me see if there is a new email, and things like this. Oh, there is a new email, so let me answer immediately. I just see I'm losing so much time. If I just say, okay, half an hour a day, I take care of my emails, and then I disconnect. There are small things, but everyone, I'm sure we can observe a little bit our life and try to make it a little more simple and not always follow the push of our mind that will, I have to do this, I have to do that, and sometimes it's not really necessary, and to use this time in extra to focus one's consciousness in service to Krishna, or in connection, or establishing the connection to Krishna as we are doing other activities. So, Mani Manjari.
He said like this, so that we should be in the world but not on the world, something like this. Someone said it's very different. You are in the world but you should not be on the world. That's the art.
And when you have this, you take this distance, when you don't take it so seriously, all what is coming around, it's actually very relieving. It's actually very, you don't have any anxieties. When you understand the temporary nature of the world, it's a joke somehow. Yeah, there is no need to take it so serious or to be so disturbed in some of the situations that happened, because you understand everywhere everything is bound to be destroyed at some time. So what's up? What's the cause to take it so seriously?
Maybe it's not even important to see if everything will be destroyed. I mean, how I see the things is that you see just Krishna is everywhere, in every atom, in every soul. So I'm always connected. If I am so conscious, I'm seeing in the nature, I'm seeing in my children, in the situations, in the arrangements, every day, everywhere. It's the art, how to see him everywhere. And then it's no problem. He's everywhere, actually. He's operating. You can look at the world in this way, then you can be very nice in the world, and be always connected in spiritual world. It's a great art how to do it. But our charges are like to be in that world. Who's doing this? He was like, he had so many children, and big family, and working, but he was never for his work. He was always completely transcendental. So it's the art how to live in the world
and
see Krishna everywhere. I mean,
and I think,
so it's easy to be here speaking on the altar, but at some point of time you should also know how to go everywhere and anywhere and see there. Otherwise you cannot help people around. Because people around cannot come all to the temple and be there, 24 hours, maybe the same. They just have to live outside. If we can meet like this, so outwardly looking, living like them, but actually internally we have another perspective, then we can be an example for these people. Because then they can say, oh, he's like us, he still feels different, something interesting, let us see what is going on. And then people become, because you cannot attract anyone who become like a renowned monk or, people just cannot identify as such a role. That's why acharyas like Prabhupada or Bhaktivinoda or some acharyas who are living in the world are showing the example. You see that? You say, Lord Chaitanya also said,
to this to many of these sites and to this Kumbhakaran. Just stay there where you are, live as you are, just have Krishna. And just, you know. And to some, he said, join me, you know, God comes me, like Ramananda. I mean, there are different types of devotees, but everyone can find some place to be connected at this point. And there are need of those people who live outside, so that they can be example for people living outside.
I like very much this perspective that you bring. I feel very interesting because I was mentioning, like, when you see everything is temporary, then you just feel very out of anxieties. Hare Krishna. And Manimanchari, you bring a point from the other perspective, saying actually when you think of Krishna and see Krishna everywhere, then there is also no anxiety. So you really see the two different perspectives. Obviously, we want the positive injunction. That's really, we want to see Krishna everywhere, and we don't want so much to be in renouncing of the world and destruction of the world. It's things that we just feel a little uncomfortable with. But I have the strong feeling that it's necessary to some extent. Otherwise, we just cannot turn toward Krishna, because we have too much anchor, too much attachment into those temporary things that do not allow us actually to really turn. But actually both need to be cultivated at the same time. Yeah. Today I brought it quite strong. Everything will be destroyed. But obviously, therefore I ended the lecture also a little bit giving us some desire, some attraction for the eternal realm.
In this connection, I recently read a very nice purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Prabhupada explains that the cultivation of devotional service or bhakti, this turning to Krishna, it has to be based on philosophy. So we need to understand the philosophy. We need to understand how temporary the world is, and from this understanding we can engage in the positive and remember Krishna. And engage in the positive.
Yeah.
I experience that myself must be deeply convinced of Krishna consciousness. So to bring it to the end of you can only give what you have.
Okay, it's already 9 o'clock. I think we should stop here. Thank you for your contribution. And Garantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.